And welcome back to Coast with Lilith Dorsey. Her book is called Orishas, Goddesses, and Voodoo Queens. And her website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. When you have a moment, go take a look at that. We'll come back with some phone calls this hour on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We're back with Lilith Dorsey. Lilith, tell us about the voodoo altar. What are all those things that they're spread out for the altar?
Well, I think we have some of the most exciting and elaborate altars anywhere. You know,
yeah.
You can see things from a can of Coca-Cola to candles to flowers, incense, you know, herbs, food, everything you can think of. You know, the traditional one that almost all traditions have is an ancestor altar or shrine where people put pictures of those who have passed and things that they enjoyed in life. So you might see a pack of cigarettes. You might see a can of beer. You might see some interesting things on there.
And, of course, when you do, what do they do with it? Do they just keep them there? Or do they pray to it? What do they do?
Well, you can pray to it. You can, you know, leave an offering and ask for help or insight or clarity surrounding a situation that might be troubling you or might be coming up. Usually with the food, it'll be left there for a day or two, and then it'll be taken either to the cemetery or to the crossroads or to somewhere else that, you know, you do a reading to figure out where it wants to go, and then you figure out where you have to go and put it.
What would you say is the biggest misconception about voodoo and then other African traditional religions?
I think that it is full of voodoo dolls, full of zombies. I think that's something that people still associate with voodoo, when in reality, you know, people did give people herbal concoctions and things like that, again, as a method of social control because they were suffering injustices and they didn't have any recourse from the police or the government because they were disenfranchised and, you know, lower levels of the economy and things like that. And so they would do something that sort of paralyzed people temporarily. It's a fish that's similar to the puffer fish that people eat in fugu in the Japanese restaurants, and it sort of paralyzes you and numbs you. And that's why people would say that they were dead, because it would slow your heart rate and stuff like that. And then you would do whatever you wanted to do with them because they were paralyzed. Usually put them out to work in the fields or move them to a different place because it also messed up their brain and they couldn't remember things the right way. But that's been turned into this whole, you know, gigantic Hollywood thing about people eating people and brains and all of that stuff. I mean, it's good fun, but it has nothing to do with voodoo.
If people read the book, your book, Orishas, Goddesses, and Voodoo Queens, and don't understand voodoo, what will they learn when they're done with the book?
I think that they'll learn how some of these systems work, how the energies that we were talking about before, the ashe, can be in certain things. So maybe you like sunflowers or maybe you like honey. You can understand that that, for us, is part of an energy that's in all things in the universe and how you can best sort of incorporate that into your life.
Can voodoo solve just about every problem on this planet, in your opinion?
A lot of them. I get some weird questions out there. I get some really, really weird questions that people ask me to help them with. But I think probably 99.9% of problems, it can either solve it or at least give you an understanding and a way to get through it.
All right, let's take some calls. Let's go to Thomas in La Jolla, California to get us started. Hi, Tom.
Hi, George. God bless you. And
well, thank you.
God bless our entire coast-to-coast community. I always, my spirit sings whenever Cornelius calls in from Alexandria, Louisiana. And he's such a magnificent soul. Thank
he
you,
sure
Cornelius.
Is. He sure is.
And Lilith, you know, when I... As it's such a refreshing conversation that you're bringing to the table. And when I think of Africa, I think of this vast continent with many lost civilizations, you know, from, well, you have South Africa, the Zulu tradition going back millennia. You have Zimbabwe and the lost cities of Zimbabwe. the lost cities of eastern Zaire, the Congo, but also you have Egypt. And it seems to me that the connection between voodoo, correct me if I'm wrong, and these lost civilizations, including Egypt, is sound, vibration, rhythm, and the divine feminine, the tradition of the goddess. And it seems to me that there had to be in this metaphorical river, this metaphorical mystical tradition, this river of voodoo, that it has to go back beyond a few centuries to these lost civilizations of Africa, you know, such as Egypt, such as Zimbabwe, et cetera. And I was wondering if you would speak about that.
Oh, sure. Well, thank you for your kind words to start with. I am glad that you're enjoying what you're listening to tonight. And it does go back. I mean, if you look at it both practically and scholarly, you know, especially to Egypt, Milo Rigaud writes a lot about how voodoo's connected to the Ba and the Ka and those forces coming together in the universe, again, as masculine and feminine and sort of intertwining and spreading out the knowledge to the universe. And that's the same kind of folklore, stories, mythologies, truths, whatever you want to call them, that we have in voodoo as coming from these divine forces that came together and sort of spread the knowledge and the blessings throughout the world. So you're right, it does come from the river. I mentioned before Oshun. There's an Oshun River in Africa, you know. And that's what's something that I find is really beautiful, especially about water, especially about rivers and sacred bodies of water, that they're all connected in some way. And they all affect us because our bodies are made up of water. So that this stuff is so precious to us because it's something that's so close to us and a part of us. And when we can tune into those things in nature, in the universe, we can access that knowledge back not just hundreds of years. You know, if we talk about Shango, who's a male Orisha, there's actually evidence that goes back to 400 BCE. So we're talking 400 years before Christ. So 2400 years, there's evidence that this was practiced. So yeah, it does go back to very, very ancient times.
How did voodoo even start, Lilith? I mean, we know Christianity starts with Jesus. I mean, what about voodoo?
They talk about, and if you talk about Haiti, they talk about Dembala and Ayuda Wedo as the serpent in the rainbow. That's the story that most people are familiar with. And Dembala took the knowledge from Africa in the birthplace, being representative of, again, the Ba and the Ka, those early primal forces almost before we even had words. And he took the knowledge from Africa to the New World, or the, you know, this side of the continent that I'm in now. And Ayuda Wedo made the rainbow, and they met here, and they blended together, and they made something new. So if there's a creation story, that's usually the one people refer to.
Does voodoo have its Bible?
There's no one written book about things. There's oral traditions and stories that are handed down, but again, they're very subject to interpretation. There's some commonalities about things, like you'll always find Oshun is the river, Yemaya is the ocean, things like that. But the actual differences will vary from person to person telling the story.
What does it say or view about ghosts in the afterlife? Does it believe in that?
Yes. Most of the traditions believe that you're reincarnated back into your same family, your same ancestry line, and that there's a soul double, so that one of you comes down and one of you stays up in the afterlife, and then you switch back and forth.
All right, let's go to Joe in Monterey, California. Hello, Joseph, go ahead.
Thank you, George, for taking my call.
You're welcome.
She's a very interesting guest, and I do commend you on your faithful, frequent callers that come in. They have very good questions.
They're good people.
Lilith, I do past life travel with my clients, and one of my clients had a lifetime in Africa, and I usually try to connect them with their guides and beings that could help them back in their past lives. And they have a tribal deity that I connected to them. And it's like a holy man or a shaman that sticks around to help the tribe that they could contact and get help from. Also, I wanted to ask you, how do they view insanity as a rites of passage to these higher frequencies that they become like healers and mystics and oracles?
Oh, that's very interesting. Your work sounds really interesting. Let me start by saying that. And insanity, if we're talking about Lakumi, insanity is usually the realm of Obatala, who is also the realm of the disabled. So there's a way that they work with them to sort of bring them peace and elevate them to a space where they can get to that divine wisdom and not be in a space that's not helpful to them and those around them. So a lot of times I've worked with people using Obatala, again, the herbs, the songs, some of those things to help people better understand it. And we mentioned before about how you get a spiritual baptism. There's also a blessing where you get connected directly with an Orisha, so they walk with you everywhere you go. And a lot of times people who are mentally ill get that initiation and that connection to Obatala, and that helps them be grounded, literally, because they talk about Obatala being the ashe, or the sacred energy of the clouds. So it brings them down from the clouds here to the earth so they can function better.
You know, Lilith, since you've been doing this, which is how many years now?
Almost 30.
Wow. I'm sure you've learned a lot in the 30 years, right?
Yes. I learn new stuff every day, but yes, I have.
What have you learned that was so surprising to you? I'm not going to say shocking, but surprising, that you didn't know?
I think that really that everybody has their own struggles, and that's not unique to voodoo. But I remember one time I had to talk to my priestess about something that was really, really embarrassing that was going on in my relationship.
Huh.
And she just turned around and was like, oh, well, everybody does that. So, you know, it was just like, oh, okay, you know, that realization where that, yes, here's somebody who I consider a holy person and who's dear to my heart, but, you know, she still has those relationship problems or those money problems sometimes, you know, and that was really edifying to me, because sometimes you think it's just you, you know, oh, it's going to solve everything, and it doesn't solve everything. It just gives you solutions and ways to deal with it, and that wasn't a bad thing. It was actually comforting.
Let's go to Ken in Bangor, Maine. Welcome to the show, Ken. Go ahead.
Thanks so much for taking my call, George.
Sure thing.
I'm a caller, and I've been listening for about 7 years.
Well, thank you.
Great stuff. My question is, about 20 years ago, I was a registered nurse in the Bay Area, California, and one of my CNAs, I was 50, she was 20, and on our second date, she said to me, I need a father, a brother, a lover, and a friend. And do you know, for the next 10 years, I was involved with her until I got down and prayed with her, because we're both Christians, and prayed with her for a guy that was 10 years older instead of my 30 years older, and she's married to the guy now and has got a child with this father, brother, lover, friend. Was that the yearning of her heart? Because she's Emaya in the flesh. She's got this love energy. Was it some kind of a spell? Was it just her heart? Or what? Because she snared my heart. She was the last love of my life.
Hmm.
Well, she could have. I mean, like I said, almost anything is possible. I think that, you know, it's to the degree that you were willing to have that happen. I don't mean that in a bad way, but I think that that's why I said a lot of what we do is based on protecting ourselves and protecting our space and protecting our energy. So sometimes if we're not knowledgeable enough in that moment to protect ourselves about what might be coming our way, then we could be susceptible to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes you have to be like a counselor.
Yeah, definitely.
Tom in Berkeley, California is with us. Hey, Thomas, go ahead.
Hey, hi. I'm a longtime listener. This is the first time I've ever called.
Well, thank you.
Okay, I know a story about, I don't know much about voodoo, but I know I used to live like in Oakland, like in the 60s. I was born in 52. And I know my mom was adopted. She was like born in San Francisco, and she didn't her parents couldn't take care of her, so she got adopted, right? And the person that adopted her name was Reginald Bell.
Okay.
You heard of Reginald? Ask her if she's ever heard of Reginald Bell.
Reginald Bell. Do you know the name, Lil?
Okay.
It sounds familiar.
Okay. Her father was Thomas Bell. He knew Mammy Pleasant in San Francisco. You heard of Mammy Pleasant?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. So my mom was adopted by this guy named Reginald Bell, and his father was Thomas Bell, the guy that got murdered by Mammy Pleasant on Octavia Street in San Francisco.
Wow.
I've always wanted to tell people about this.
That's an interesting story. And did you ever get any national media coverage on that?
No, but I know there's books about Mammy Pleasant.
That's interesting, too. How do you know all this stuff, Lilith?
I just read a lot and study a lot and talk to a lot of people.
I mean, are you doing this full-time now as a voodoo practitioner, as a priestess?
I have some other gigs, but...
Gigs, I love it. Do you sing or anything like that?
I do. I sing, I dance, I, you know, write other books on other things.
And when we were talking earlier about Dr. John, the jazz legend, you talked about the voodoo dancing. What is that?
Well, there were a lot of dances that they would do back in, you know, the 1800s, that there were slave dances that they would do. And it's interesting because if you look at the way they did them, there's a dance called the Yan Valu that in Haiti is a serpent dance, and it's like, you know, you mimic a snake. And the Yan Valu in New Orleans, it was a secret coded thing where you were supposed to do this motion where you chop the head off. And that was supposed to mean, like, later we're going to chop the heads off of all the, you know, government and the officers and the people in power. So it was really like a coded level of resistance. And when I told Dr. John that, he just loved it. So that's the dance I did for him at Bonnaroo and Jazz Fest and all over the place.
Are we at a time now where all religions seem to be under pressure because everything seems to be haywire? Does that also include voodoo?
Definitely. I think there's been a lot of people out there using voodoo to affect change with everything that's going on with the world. There's been people using voodoo, you know, because of health reasons. There's been people using voodoo because of, you know, justice reasons, all of these things. And they've been petitioning and praying and doing special symbols and prayers for these kinds of, you know, things that they need so desperately at this time.
All right, well, stick with us, Lilith. We're going to come back and take final phone calls with you in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. And again, folks, her book is called Orishas, Goddesses, and Voodoo Queens, O-R-I-S-H-A-S, linked up on her website at coasttocoastam.com. Amazon will also find it for you. But let's come back and take some final calls if we can. We'll give you the numbers in just a second. Don't forget to sign up for our free YouTube channel. Put in the search bar at the top of the homepage on YouTube, Coast to Coast AM Official. That'll get you there. It's free to subscribe. You just hit a button, and you'll become one of thousands who are watching our YouTube channel. On our next Coast to Coast program, for the first couple hours, we're going to talk about all these police controversies we've been having lately with some trainers of police departments. These folks have been on our program before. And it's a very important, serious subject. And then later on in the show, our investigative reporter Cheryl Jones joins us, followed by Conversations with Cheryl. So make sure you're part of the program. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, back with our final segment with Lilith Dorsey as we're talking about her new book and, of course, voodoo. Is there voodoo for healing people, Lilith?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of voodoo for healing people. There are specific Loa and Orisha that have to do with healing. There's a lot of herbalism that goes into it, you know, because a lot of these people traditionally didn't have access to mainstream medicines and things like that. So even now, there's a lot of herbal remedies and stuff that people use. There's recipes that you can cook in the kitchen that are very healing for people, you know. So I think that really healing for us, it's an all-body kind of thing. You know, you have to heal yourself
right,
with the right mind and the right food and the right attitude.
Is there like a hands-on healing as well?
There is, but it's more done through other things. Like, you know what I mean? You would give somebody a bath. You might even give somebody a cleansing by using a bunch of fresh herbs and using that to sort of, I don't know what's the word, beat them with it or flog them with it or something like that. It's not that extreme or anything, but it's really just sort of brushing them off with live herbs and waters and things like that.
Feathering them a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Charlie in Lafayette, Indiana, or Louisiana, first-time caller. Hi, Charlie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, George.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm a first-time caller. What I've got is my wife has a, in my opinion, a spiritual attachment, a bad attachment.
A bad one, yeah.
Yes. And what I'm looking for is help to get rid of that attachment. And we can trace this attachment back to one event 30 years ago, and it's been causing medical problems ever since. She's had stage 4 cervical cancer, breast cancer, ovarian cancer.
She's a fighter.
Oh, yeah. Gallbladders had to be removed because it was malfunctioning. But nothing wrong with it.
What was the attachment, Charlie, that you think is out there that is attacking her?
Well, trying not to sound like a nut job or anything, but I think she has a demonic attachment. She had gone to her aunt's house was really haunted. Things would fly off the shelves, doors would slam shut, stuff like this. And she went in there with some other members of the church and stuff like this, and they were praying over the house. At the time, she was extremely religious. And her father was a pastor and everything like this. And so they were really in there praying very hard for several hours. And then when the presence that was in the house left, it was very visual in the way that it left. Everybody in the house could actually see that it was gone.
Jeez.
And just a complete, total different feeling in the house.
Why would it come at her, Charlie?
She was the one leading the most of the prayers.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay.
And basically fighting it the hardest. And we have, we've gone to the church. We've had, the anointing oils. We've had the elders lay their hands on her, pray over her. We cannot get rid of this attachment.
Okay, so I assume you're asking Lilith, will voodoo do the trick for this?
Exactly.
Lilith, will it?
Yeah, there's a lot of things I can recommend. I would start by putting something under the bed where you guys sleep, just something simple like salt water and or holy water or something like that under the bed, and change it every day, because that will help collect any kind of negative energy that's attached itself.
Simple salt water.
Yeah, because it'll attract the negativity. And, you could also put it in the corners of the room so it can't still get to her. But I would also do some kind of larger cleansing, probably somewhere, you said you're in Lafayette, somewhere that you can go to actual moving water. So it could be a stream, it could be a river, whatever you can get to, and have her do a cleansing there in the river water, and just tell her to envision all the negativity going off her and going into the river, and then leave some kind of offering. It could just be some change, or it could be, something like a crystal or something that's important to her. The only other thing I would say for that, if it was her aunt's house, make sure she doesn't have anything that's still of her aunt's. I know it might be something she really likes or is a keepsake, but a lot of times that kind of energy can get attached to a thing. And you think it's, this is a nice thing that was in my aunt's house, a chair or a lamp or something like that. But you don't want that stuff in your house.
How about a voodoo practitioner also helping? Would that work?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. But I always try not to recommend that because I think people think I'm trying to sell something.
No, I mean, can they find them on your website?
Well, yeah, people can always contact me, or if they're not local
okay.
to me, they can, you know, email me, and I'll point them in the right direction.
Charlie, do that. Her website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. You'll see in the show information her name, and just click where Lex has the website highlighted, and good luck to you. Let's hope that works. It sounds like she's been attacked from entities for years. She's got to get rid of this thing. She's a fighter.
Yeah.
Let's go to Barry in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Hey, Bear, welcome.
Hello, George. Tommy said my phone was breaking up.
It sure is. You sound like you're in a bubble.
I'll be darned. Well, we've got thunderstorms outside, and I'm on a cell phone. Can you hear me better now?
Not really well at all. I'll give you about 15 seconds to go and ask your question.
All right, Lilith. I used to live in a little town called Bogalusa, Louisiana. You ever heard of it?
Yes.
Okay, anyway, my mother made friends with a lady there who worked with her, and she was into voodoo, and I mean, this woman was absolutely amazing. I was only in the fourth and fifth grade, 1953-54. But I'll never forget her, and I'm so glad you're on. And hello, Cornelius, hello, Thomas, and all the Coast to Coast folks.
Interesting take. Lilith, what do you think?
Oh, about Bogalusa?
Yeah.
There's a lot of magic that goes on out there. There's a lot of magic, and I'm glad that people can finally talk about it.
Well, me too. In everything you've done with voodoo, what has been the most enlightening thing for you?
I think just seeing, you know, performing with Mac, Dr. John, and seeing how, even though it was something that we were just doing on a small stage, that it could affect the whole, everybody, thousands of people that were in the crowd. We did a lot of magic spells. We did a lot of political spells together on stage. And that was something that I'd done little rituals with maybe 200 or 300 people, but being able to do something to really affect change with thousands and thousands of people out there was just something I never could have imagined.
Would you recommend voodoo for other people who are on the fence about certain things?
I mean, I would recommend a reading if they think that's something they want to do. I would get a reading from somebody who's a good practitioner like me, or again, I can refer them to somebody. And if it says they should move forward with initiation, then yeah, sure, do it.
Did anybody teach you? How did you learn?
I learned from my priestesses. My priestess here in New Orleans is Priestess Miriam from the Voodoo Spiritual Temple. My priestess in Haitian Vodou is Bonnie Devlin, who's actually a UU minister. And she's also a Haitian mambo and a drummer. And I learned from her. And I also learned from my Santeria or Lukumi priestess, Oshun, who was also a psychologist. So it really, they all had their own special things. And I love them very dearly.
If you're Catholic and you want to practice or dabble with voodoo, I mean, you're not going to open up the gates of hell or anything, right?
No, like I said, we don't really believe in those kinds of things. Stuff about, you know, people in the Catholic faith that says you're not supposed to practice anything.
Do you believe in the devil?
Catholicism. Yeah, I mean, I think it does sort of get those things confused, which doesn't have anything to do with voodoo. So,
let's go to New York. Ron's with us. Good morning, Ron.
Yes, George.
Hello, sir.
Yes, hi. I just have a little story to tell you. Close to 50 years ago, I was in the Peace Corps, and I was in the Dominican Republic, and right near the Haitian border, and I was walking with this young Dominican at night in just down the street of my town, which is, of course, a dirt road, so it was very poor, and it was at night, and we heard some drums. And I looked at this Dominican I was walking with, and he looked at me, and he said, voodoo. And I says, what? You know, I was a young man in my 20s at that time. And I didn't know much about voodoo, And it was sort of startling. I mean, I was in country for a short period of time, and I was speaking Spanish, and the culture is completely different. It was sort of alarming just to hear that. And I just wanted to tell you that little story.
That is a great story. I'm going to tell you a quick story here too, Ron. Back in 1960, my uncle recommended to John F. Kennedy, who was a senator right before he was elected, to start the Peace Corps. And once he became president, he started it in 1961. It's an amazing story, isn't it?
Wow.
Sure is. Next up?
Wow.
That small world, Lilith.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, this was something he always wanted to do, and he was born out there, and he was in Massachusetts, and he told him, and so be it. That's final stages. We'll take just a couple more calls here, and that will be it right here on Coast to Coast. And since you've been practicing voodoo, which has been all these years now, 30-some years, what has been the most satisfying thing you've done?
I did a spell for justice after my daughter was killed. That was satisfying and intense. So I think that was probably the one that was the most important for me.
And does it continue to fulfill you? I assume it does.
It does. It does. Like I said, it's not always what you want, but it's definitely what you need. So, you know, you can have enough of what you need to get by.
Absolutely.
Which I think is the best anybody can hope for, really.
Now, if people want to get a hold of you through your website, do you take emails and things like that?
Yes, I do. They can get a hold of me through my website. They can get a hold of me on social media, everywhere.
All right. We get a text and tweets as well as our calls. Tom, what do you have for Lilith?
Yeah, this one in from Jason in Mississippi. Can you ask the guest what it is specifically about garlic that makes it the enemy of vampires?
Now, I don't know if you can handle that, Lilith, but I'll let you take a stab at it if you want.
Sure, I will.
Okay.
Garlic has a lot of things for protective magic, especially in African traditional religions. We use it for protection from things. And I think it's a good, you know, medically it's an antiviral, it's antifungal, you know, mosquitoes don't like it. So I think that vampires don't like any of those things. Vampires are probably very fungal, mosquito-like people.
Brad in Mississippi. Take it away, Brad. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm going to be real fast. I found something buried on my land probably about 20 years ago, and I'm trying to figure out if it's voodoo or witchcraft. What it was a shoebox, and inside the shoebox was wax paper, and inside the wax paper I found two saucers, and they were cupped together. And inside the two cupped together saucers was a bird's wing and like a gray pasty material or gel. And it's puzzled me for years.
Was it a tiny bird wing?
No, it was like, yes, ma'am. It was probably like maybe a dove or something like that because it was gray in color.
Yeah, that would be a love spell, I would guess. I mean, it sounds like a traditional kind of love spell.
Interesting take.
But I would get rid of it because whoever's done with it now.
Would you get rid of it in a heartbeat?
No, because it's a love spell. It's not like it was something done to hurt somebody. It was just done to the saucers together, and the little birds are used to bring people together and keep them together in a relationship.
So, Lilith, if some kid wants to practice voodoo and goes to their mother or father, what should that answer be?
I think that they should help them set up something to honor their ancestors. People can do that if they're in the tradition or not, but those were people that they may have known. Those are people that were responsible for them being alive now. So it's important to tell the kids a little bit about them, and what better way than to put up their picture and to light a candle and tell a story about them, maybe make their favorite food. That's what I would say to
them. You got it. Lilith, thank you for being on the program. Appreciate it. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, Ian Punnett, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.